We have just studied the woman who is caught up in adultery, and the Lord's writing in the dirt. All the accusers left, and of course there was nobody left to condemn her, nobody left to throw a stone at her, and the Lord said, go and sin no more. Verse 12, as we see, there are still some around. Or later on, as we would see, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. You have to understand what's being said there, and the Lord does explain this later on. You'd have to have 2 to 3 witnesses before you could say something and know that it's true. So I would have to bring 2 people with me. And what they point out is, that's what you say. You said that, but you don't have anybody else to say it for you. Therefore, it's not true. Now, we all understand the value of having witnesses. Our court system thrives on having witnesses. Justice is good for witnesses. Experimentation and scientific study and research is bettered by having multiple people come across the same thing. We understand the value of a peer-reviewed study. These things are important to have more than one person go over them. But just because you don't have a second person going over it doesn't mean it's not true. And what they want is, they wanted another person to come in and say, yes, I have seen it. Yes, I can verify. This is exactly what it is. You say you're the light of the world. You say these things, but there's not another person who's experienced them who can come along and say that that's true. Therefore, we don't believe you. Verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of 2 men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. And what he's trying to get them to understand is, you've got a way of understanding things. You've got a certain logic, but that logic is broken. That logic is flawed. Just because you've got 2 people that say something is true, it doesn't make it true. Though we would like to see it. That's a good indicator. Hey, so-and-so saw it, and so-and-so saw it. Okay, well, that gives me a good indication that it's true. However, we're not dealing with perfect people. We're dealing with people who, given the same motivations, might lie. Also, just because you've only got 1 person who saw it does not mean that it's not true. It could still very well be true. We put the idea of witnesses and things like that out there because it does help us verify things. But lacking a second person to talk to doesn't make it not so. And what Jesus tries to say here is, there's me. And there's God the Father, who testified of me, who made clear of me. As we dial back a little bit to verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them. And this is the argument that he's trying to make to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is who I am. And the world today, and many people, do not believe Jesus is who he says he is. And that is an error on their part. Some people don't believe that there was a Jesus. However, most major historians, I don't think there is even 1 major historian who denied or doubted the existence of Christ, but the historians will back us up. This is when he lived. This is what we see. This is the what they were talking about during that time. We see evidence of him. But all the same, what do they say? There was no Jesus. Then there are some people who believe in Jesus, but they don't believe him to be the Son of God. Much like these Pharisees, he was just a great prophet. Like the Muslims. The Muslims say there was a Jesus. He was just a good prophet. He was not the Son of God. Well, how can you be a good prophet if you believe you're the Son of God and you're not? You can't be a good prophet. It messes with them. There's many, he was a good teacher. He was a rabble rouser. He was a zealot. He was a cultist. There's a lot of people with a lot of backwards ideas concerning Christ. They are also doing so to their own error. Jesus is who he says he is. The miracles back him up. The witnesses of those miracles back him up. Oh, well, how can we believe the Bible just because it's the Bible quoting the Bible? It's not. We have Josephus, a man who is by no stretch of the imagination of a Christian background. We have many other historians from that time who penned of this man and the stories that were being told. He was not a rich man to start a cult. He was not one who charged people so he could make money. He was not stealing from anybody. He had no financial backers. As a matter of fact, the rich and powerful people that did follow him did so in secret. They wanted to have nothing to do with him openly, so they wouldn't pass coin over to him. What was the purpose of doing the things he was doing were it not true? The problem we have with Christ isn't that we don't think he's real. It's that many people don't want him to be real. And if he is beyond a shadow of a doubt real, they don't want him to be right. Because if he is right, then I am wrong and I have to change. And what is it that he asks us to change? He doesn't ask anything grievous of us. He doesn't ask us to do anything that would harm or hurt us, right? I got into another discussion with a Muslim. Well, nowhere in the Quran does it say we ought to go to war. I pointed to 6 or 7 different places. You see right there? Well, you can't follow it that dogmatically. I go, well, if it's there, you can't say it's not there. You know what I mean? And if you're going to follow it a little bit, I told him, let me tell you what I tell my Baptists. If you're going to follow it a little bit, you might as well follow it all the way. If you're going to believe even an inch of what God has to say, you might as well take the whole ruler. Go the whole mile with it. We can't pick and choose what we believe in and what we don't, what we're willing to follow and what we're not. When he says he is the light of the world, we understand to mean that he is the difference. We walk around in darkness, not understanding the things around us, not understanding how we ought to behave to each other. Well, brother, that's a very narrow-minded thing to say. Take a look at what we're doing out there. I mean, my oh my, if we could just see what people in this area were arrested for just in the last week. I'm sure we would sit there, we would look at that, and we would say, man, people do not know how to act. And we think that just because we don't break out in handcuffs, we think that just because we don't have bad reputations, that means we don't do things that don't make no sense. We do. We all have our sins. We all have our growing to do. And what we need is the Lord to shine light and wisdom down on us. Were it not for the Holy Spirit convicting our heart, we would have never come to Jesus Christ as our Savior. And you know who you were before the Lord saved you, and I'm sure you can back me up on that. I would have never come to the Lord. I would have done what I wanted to do for as long as I wanted to do it until the day I died. I've known many a Christian who just had that exact opinion and that exact plan for their lives until the Lord shined some light on it. And much like Paul or Saul at the time, you're knocked to the ground by the truth. And that is what Jesus claims to be. I am the light of the world. See, that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Referring to salvation, referring to knowing the difference between right and wrong. See, that's what we wanted in the garden. Oh, we would know good and bad? The problem is, we learned bad and it wasn't what we thought it was. And now some people can't tell the difference between the two. See, back when we only knew right and we didn't know wrong, life was easy. Now we're trying to meld things together and fuse things together and try to fold it all up to there is no good, there is no bad, there's just things you like and things you don't like. That's not how it goes. We have to have morality, and man himself is too flawed to come up with morality. Oh, that's another harsh statement. It's true. Look at the laws we write, and then look at how the people who are supposed to be protecting those laws break them. Look at how we write laws. Like, for instance, we're voting. A phrase that comes up every time we go through the election year is gerrymandering. You guys know what that is, when you draw the lines to see who gets to vote when and where. And isn't it funny how we just keep drawing those? Do you think we keep drawing those for geographical purposes? Have the cities changed their boundaries? We know why we're changing those. So tell me again, is man good enough to set morality? We are literally drawing lines to better our own positions. Think about this. We don't pass laws in this country in order for us to have better lives. You understand that? If the Senate and the House and then the President signs off on it, we did that for one thing at a time, then I would say, yes, we are passing laws to better our country. But that's not what we do, is it? What should take one sheet of paper, maybe more if it's a complicated deal, turns into thousands of pages. And how many days do they get to read over that before they vote? Not enough. Not enough. There have been people who have given that testimony that they had many staffers taking different things, trying to write reports, trying to summarize it, so they could sit there and look through, decide whether or not they're going to agree to it. That is not passing laws. Man, we haven't figured out morality. And because of our finiteness, because of our sinful nature, I don't think we'll ever truly be able to do it. In one decade, it's okay to hang this type of person just for being that type of person. That's not Bible. 2 decades later, it's wrong. 50 years later, now we're looking at other people and we're saying, well, we don't like your ideals, we do not like your conservative beliefs, so therefore it's okay for us to do violence to you. And if you look through the panoply of history, you look down through history, you'll see that that has always been the way we have acted. We hate one particular group of people, we kill them. And then we move on, and it's somebody else's turn. It's almost like being the new guy at work. You know how they always used to pick on the new guy at work? And then how long do we pick on the new guy? Until they hire a new guy. And the new guy, he gets the training wheels taken off of him, and he gets to pick on the new guy. It's how we act, but with bloodshed. We needed a light. Not just to teach us right and wrong, but we needed salvation because of the things we had done wrong. And because of who we are. And who is that light? Jesus Christ. Him and him alone. He goes on to tell them, verse 15, ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father, but I am the Father that sent me. What's being said here is it's speaking down to logical deduction. We have a way of looking at things and trying to decipher whether or not they are true. And then we test those hypotheses. And we test the ideas. And we debate them and we discuss them. But the fact of the matter is that no matter how much we argue or how much we debate, we might still be wrong in the end. We could have 100 scientists all agree that dinosaurs had feathers, for them to just end up not having had feathers. Or we can sit there and say, well, they all had lizard skin, and then later we find out they all had feathers. Some will say we've got global warming. Some will say global cooling. Some will say, oh, no, it's climate change due to this. But in 100 years, when the cycle flips again, we're just going around in one big loop, we're not going to be here to know we were wrong. We sit there, and even in our archaeology, they dig up cities and they talk to different people. And what are you doing? You're putting together a puzzle that you don't know what that is. You're comparing it to things you might know what it is. And then two or three other people come by and say, yes, I agree. That does look just like that. They rubber stamp it and they say, that's what it is. And then 20 years later, somebody digs up something else. And they go, oh, we were wrong the entire time. Let's change this. Why? Because even though we've got rules for the scientific process, for learning, for discovery, they are not perfect. Oh, they're better than just guessing, but they're not perfect. Well, we've never met a man that could do that. Therefore, there could be no Jesus Christ. Well, the Jesus that we understand from the Old Testament is going to come as a great conquering king. And he's not a great conquering king. He's a carpenter's son. And he doesn't have a scepter. And he doesn't have a sword. He's got a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors and other people hanging around him. He's not what we were expecting. Ergo, he's not who he says he is. But what we'll go on to read is the problem wasn't that he wasn't who he says he was. The problem was that they weren't taking the full account of the Old Testament to mind. When Jesus says, my Father testifies of me. You know how God testified of Jesus? In the 351 prophecyical things said in the Old Testament. And I'm bumming. I've got a stack of paper like this sitting on my desk. I was going to come up and I was going to read some of them off to you, but like I said, my wife is the left side of my brain, and when she's gone, I might as well just roll me up. I don't even have anybody to take care of. It's just me and the dog. And no, 351 times somebody proclaims something that Jesus was going to say or do. And you know what he showed up doing? Exactly those things. Now, there were some things, like sometimes David in his Psalms, prophetically, he would write some of the things that Jesus would say one day. Now, I get that from the skeptic's point of view. All he's got to do is study the book of Psalms and say those things, and Bob's your uncle, and you're good. I get that. But there are some things that could not be recreated, like the nature of his birth. Again, there were witnesses. And they weren't quiet witnesses. There were people who went in and talked and talked and talked about it to where there was other people who would write down the record who had nothing to do with Judaism, who had nothing to do with the Hebrew God, had nothing to do with them. And they would write these things down and they would be preserved in antiquity, shouting alongside of the Bible going, yes, that happened. How do you fake that? I mean, nowadays we've got, you know, CGI, AI. We got all sorts of stuff. We've got lighting things. We could put on a show out there. They didn't have those things. And by the way, Mary and Joseph weren't rich enough to pull off something like that. That's a long con, you understand? During a time where infant mortality wasn't exactly perfect. So you'd be putting everything on what? The nature of his birth, how he would grow, the things he would do, the places he would be in, the way he would speak, John the Baptist coming before him, that's a trick. And again, John the Baptist is not a man that we've just invented. It's not somebody that the Catholic Church put together. These are things that people had written down about this man who brought great consternation among the religious leaders. It is stored and preserved in history. And yet, you got no one to back you up. And that's what they say today. Oh, there's no way of proving it. You've just got the Bible quoting the Bible. Listen, I have followed God where it didn't make any sense. And I've seen things happen that shouldn't make sense happen. The Bible stands on its own, yes. But as I obey God, His promises are true. We've all been farmers of the fruit of the Spirit, have we not? Things that have taken place in your life that matches those things that were listed. And you go, well, how did that get there? How about this? What about a peace that passeth all understanding? And you know, as you're comparing that, I do have peace, but I still have pain, and it makes no sense. See, now you get it. It passes all the understanding. Well, it was supposed to be easy. The Christian life is supposed to be like having a genie all the time. No, it's not. As a matter of fact, some of the sermons we've got coming up, the Lord promises one person, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. I got a stone for a pillow. You, come on. Well, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me bury my father first. Nah, and no man who puts his hand to the plow and takes it back again is worthy. It's no fun, and you can't quit. Now, is there blessings? Yes. But it is not a bed of roses. I've always wondered about that statement. And maybe one of you who know words better than I do. A bed of roses always sounds scary to me because while many people think of the petals, I think of the sharp things at the bottom. And maybe life is a bed of roses. It smells good. It's wonderful. But there's a thorn every now and then. And it hurts. It don't take away the smell of the roses. It don't take away the peace that you find. It doesn't change the fact that you found yourself in a really good position. But the pain doesn't go the way you think it would. It doesn't stop the way you'd want it to. Oh, all the same, we have peace. And that doesn't make sense to this world. I heard somebody give a testimony one time. Their doctor had given them some bad news and said, hey, it should only be a few more weeks now, and you'll be gone. And the person says, well, if that's what the Lord wants, that's what will happen. And the doctor figured that that was a very disturbing statement for the person to make and began to question them. Do you want to die? Is there something wrong with you? Do you understand? Maybe you're in denial. You don't get that there's no coming back from this. The man explained, I don't want to die. But I'm not afraid of it. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay here with my wife and with my children, with my business. I want to. But if this is what the Lord says to happen, this is what's going to happen. He had a peace that didn't make sense. We can try everything that God says, and we are guaranteed to find that it is true. Now, sometimes in our finite mind, we don't quite get all of it until later. But guaranteed, there'll be a time, whether here or up in heaven, where you look back on a moment in your life and you go, ah, I understand now. That had to happen. These men, they were not convinced. Verse 19, then said they unto him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And you got to understand what the purpose of that verse. You know why we have to hear that verse? You know why that was important for us to be able to read that a thousand and some change years later? Because you had to know they wanted him. They wanted to get him. From the day he first showed up doing the things he was doing, they wanted him dead. But they couldn't. Much like the devil when he went after Job, God set a boundary. And he said, it's not time yet. It's coming, but it's not time yet. Their will was to get him. And I wonder how many of them sat there talking, going, we listened to him run his mouth, and how come nobody went to go arrest him? He was in the treasury. He was in the temple saying these things. And nobody went after him in that moment. Now they're going to go after him here in a second. But while he's sitting there teaching, nobody puts hands on him. Why? Because God says, it's not time yet. They did not like him, but they were still controlled by God. Not as one controls a puppet, but he froze them in that. Not like how he did with the lions, but it never occurred to him. Never dawned on him to go get him. No matter how badly they wanted him, it was not his time. Verse 22, then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I'm sorry, for verse 21, I'm getting ahead of myself. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Consider the thief upon the cross. What did the thief on the cross get to hear? Today you'll be with me in paradise. What did the Pharisees hear? You can't come. You can't come. Here in the next couple of verses, he's going to clarify it's because they refuse to believe. See, whether we believe in Christ or not, he exists. Whether you believe the Bible or not, you are still held by it. Whether you believe in a sin nature, a need for repentance and faith, whether you believe it or not, it doesn't change a thing. If you are lost, and you've never repented of your sin, and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot come. Repentance and faith must take place. There will be no, I will stand before God and tell him I was confused. There will be no standing before God saying, but the leaders I followed assured me you weren't real. Or they told me baptism. They told me donations. They told me sowing seed money. They told me good deeds. So you need to give me a pass because I wasn't surrounded by those people. But they were. These words right here are in every King James version of the Bible. And I don't know if you've taken a tour around America lately, but this book is everywhere. This book is no secret. You drive down and you see different billboards. Man, it's hard to look at billboards nowadays. But I'll drive by, I'll see one with some scripture on it. And I go, hey, that's nice. Oh, I do get frustrated when it's not the King James. But I'll go by and I go, that sure is a positive change from the other stuff I'm seeing. Doesn't matter what we believe. God is who he is. God is not a wish we've all collectively had. He's not a dream that somebody had and other people were really good at selling. Every religious leader has risen and fell, not Jesus Christ. Well, you see, the Roman government, wrapped up with the religion, and the religion poured into the government, and boom, there they are. And they ruled with an iron fist, and it was illegal to be anything but, oh, get a better understanding of history. People had options. People had choices. All over the world, there was pagan religion. All over the world, there were Baptists. All over the world, there were people who believed in other things. Leaders rose, leaders fell. One point, the prevailing God on this earth was Baal. I ain't seen a temple to him in a very long time. You find one, you let me know. I'd be interested to see where it is. What about to Zeus and all of them? Well, yeah, they believe that they're up on... You know, you could climb that mountain probably and look around and not see any people like that. They come and they go. Now, I heard back in, I think it was 2016... They legalized, it was illegal for a while, but they legalized in Greece the worship of the old gods. Okay. I don't know how big of a following it is, but also if you look at the current census numbers, there's a certain amount of Americans who identify their religion as Jedi, so take that as much as you'd like. We can daydream all we want about this God, that God, what we want to be, a God that will give us what we want, a God that looks a lot like us, a God that does things the way we do, but those things, they don't exist. There's one who has stood the test of time, and he does not need our input. And we have seen that. We have seen in the divisions and the divisions of religion, even among people who call themselves Baptists. I heard a preacher last weekend, we need to reform again. We have no right to reform the faith once delivered. We repent. If I find out that our beliefs do not match the Bible, we do not reform religion. We repent of bad practices. And you know why they don't like that? I've talked to a few people. I say, you know why you don't like me saying that? Why? Because that means you don't get to be the next Huss. You don't get to be the next Luther. You don't get to be the next Spurgeon. That's what bothers you about it. That's why they're rejecting the idea of authority within the church. That's why they are rejecting the idea that there's one true lineage. They reject the idea of a trail of blood, not because they don't believe it, but because they can't become rock stars, because it's there. One day they'll learn. We cannot make God who we want him to be. He stands apart. He made us. We didn't make him. Every other God on this planet, every other philosophy of God other than who he says he is an invention, is a joke. And one day we will find out. But sadly, many will find out in this verse 21 where he says, "And ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Well, see, here's the thing. I figured what would be best is if we just had as many people in church as possible. So we rewrote some things and we modified the way we preach things and we made it more entertaining. And sure, we stopped giving the gospel. And sure, for a love offering, we were just baptizing people on a Saturday out there in the park. Sure, we were doing things our way. But you have to understand, we meant it for good. We did all this for you. So clearly, it's okay, right? No, you cannot come. Cannot come. You died in your sins. Ye cannot come. It is only in believing in God the way he is, repenting of your sins, and trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior that we can hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That we can hear, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Verse 23, "And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." And it's almost like a very simplification, like you're speaking to a child. Hey, the reason why I said you'll die in your sins is because if you don't believe in the Messiah, you don't believe in salvation, and you never repent and you never trust me, you'll die in your sins. But what if the world no longer agrees that it's sin? You'll die in your sins. We had some temps working for us. And one of the things that we were doing is we were doing what we call trash out. Somebody either moves out and leaves a big old mess, or they get evicted and they don't want their stuff. And if they get evicted and they don't want their stuff, it's outside and that's nice. But if they just leave a bunch of garbage on the inside, that's a bit of a bummer. So we took the temps and said, "Hey guys, listen, here's what you do. Don't keep anything. Don't put anything in your mouth. Put it into a trash bag, throw it out." Well, the majority of them agreed that the ice cream bars inside the freezer were good. They all ate them. They all got sick. You want to know why? Because eating food you don't know where it's been, where it came from, or how it's been handled is a dumb idea. I don't know if the power went out. I don't know how old the things were, but they were all sick by the end of the day. Oh, we don't know why. I know why. I warned you, don't do that, and you did it. Doesn't matter if the majority of the world says that something's okay. If God says it's sin, and it'll likely kill you just as much as smile at you. It makes me feel good. Yeah, that's the way the devil... You think the devil went up and made Eve feel bad first? You think he walked up to her and insulted her? I don't like your toenail polish. What's that dumb thing you're doing with your hair? He didn't go over and say, it's going to give you a wicked tummy ache. You should have some. One day you're going to stand over the grave of your son if you eat this. Go ahead and have your peace. He didn't do that, did he? He made her feel good. And what's dumb is there's a lot of things that make us feel good that aren't sinful, and we could do them and we could feel good. We wouldn't need it. We take those good feelings. Oh, it makes me feel good. Therefore, it must be a special definition I have for myself. I like this. Therefore, this must be something special about me. No. You just like that. Yeah, but doesn't that make me different? No. Given the right circumstances, everybody could like that. Given the right teaching and application, everybody could fall down that rabbit hole. You're not special. You just like it. You know, I get this every now and then. I've got this girl. She loves pretty floofy dresses. And she likes to put on her pretty floofy dresses. And she likes to go jump in mud. You wipe the mud off, she gets angry. You try to get her to take the floofy dresses off before she jumps in the mud, she gets angry. And I get people all the time, well, what do you think that means about her? I said, come here, come close. I think she likes to jump in the mud. And I think she likes floofy dresses. Yeah, but in the long run, what do you think that means? It means I'm going to have to buy a lot of laundry detergent. Well, what if she grows up and she keeps doing it? And she grows up into an adulthood. What do you think it's going to mean for an adult? Oh, when she's an adult, that's very easy. I no longer have to buy the laundry detergent. And she can buy all the pretty floofy whatever she wants. And she can jump into whatever mud she wants. But I get what they're asking. What if she's a tomboy? All right. Keep up with her brothers. But doesn't that mean something about her because she's not traditionally... Listen, I've known a lot of women who were as feminine as it could be, but could still take a chicken's head right off without using a blade. You know what I mean? My grandma was, my mamaw, not grandma, mamaw, she was one of the most ladylike people. She had manners. She knew exactly how to act. She kept you to your manners, but she was the sweetest lady you ever met. Could grab a chicken by the head, spin that thing around, and sit there and teach her grandchildren to do the same. Sat there with a bunch of grandkids, just going, we're 90s kids. We were millennials. You don't do that to us. Soft. What do you think that meant about my mamaw? Do you think my mamaw secretly liked women? Because she could snap a chicken's head off or go out for a walk. One of my prized possessions is my shotgun. It's not because it's nice. It's not because it's accurate. It's not because it's expensive. It was my mamaw's shotgun. My mamma prided herself on whenever she would go out with whatever weapon she had, whatever she was hunting, she'd get a bigger one than Papaw. What do you think that meant about her? Well, I like to think it means that mamma was a good hunter. We get weird, don't we? Well, clearly there's some undertones. Going back to Melanie, yeah, there's some undertones. She likes squishy mud between her toes. That's what it is. Well, why do you think she likes to wear the floofy dresses? I don't know, they're colorful. It doesn't mean anything, you just like it. They're not here so I can pick on her. We got up north. She saw Mama. She saw Grandma in the pontoon boat. Big boat. And she was tearing over at the big boat. And Papa was bringing out the Jeep. Had the top off of the Jeep. Jeep. When I'm on the tractor, she wants to be on the tractor. Or the lawnmower. She wants to be on the lawnmower. What do you think that means? I think she likes to go for rides on stuff. Yeah, but don't you think that later on in life, maybe later on in life she'll mow the lawn for me. Shh. Let a kid be a kid. That's one of the biggest perversions of the modern day. She likes to wear a baseball cap backwards. That's not going to be a traditional girl. That's a boy. We got to get her some puberty blockers. We got to pump them up with stuff. The majority of the world agrees. She likes baseball, not ballet. Therefore, we got to change her perception of herself. And maybe she just likes baseball. Maybe she just likes the feel of a ball hitting a bat. Man, I don't know. I like it, don't you? It didn't happen to me often when I played Little League, but when I got to coach pitch, man, I took off. Don't you like that? The world has its own philosophies and its own ideas and its own things. And what it does is it tries to make sin part of who we are. It's not. We were talking to Brother Mike back there, my dad. My dad gave up drinking. Now listen, love my dad. Never thought I'd live to see the day. Never thought I'd live to see the day. And I told him that, all right, so if he's listening to this now, never thought he'd see the day. But there he is. Wasn't that who he is? Not anymore. What do you do? How many of you have given things up? And it was such a big part of your personality. And now you don't even think about doing it. I wonder if you hit your head. Did your personality change? What happened? Did something psychologically different happen to you? No, you just stopped doing it. You gave it to the Lord. You repented. You don't do it no more. Your definition of you didn't change. You're always the sinner you've always been. Still susceptible to the same garbage you always have been. But you realize something you liked angered God. And you said, well, I'm not going to do that. I'll find other things to make me feel good. Right? This world does not know God as He is. But one day they're going to know. And folks, it's our job to make sure they find out here instead of there. Let's be compassionate. He is the light of the world. We need to shine that light everywhere we go. Well, brother, we can't save him. No, I know that, and you know that. But my job doesn't change. Doesn't change based on how many I think I could get. It doesn't change based on how many people we have walk down the aisle. The job is the same. Shine the light of Christ into our lives, into our neighborhoods, into our families. One day this world will learn who Christ is. And if you're here today and you don't know Him as your Savior, I know we're talking to the Wednesday night crowd, but I'm well trained. I just do the same things every day. We need to get it right. If you're here today and the Lord has saved you and you're still trying to rewrite the definition of who He is, or you're letting some of these slick-talking people out there rewrite the definition of who He is in your heart, repent of it. Get to the book. Get to the book. Well, who should I listen to more, my pastor or this other pastor in town who does really, really good? Who should I listen to? Get to the book. Book will tell you which one's right. And then what do? Well, we have a conversation with somebody. What about this verse? What about that verse? I got to do that. I got to do that this week, man. I was so pleased with myself. Somebody put something out there, and I go, what about this verse? What would you do with that verse? How does this verse fit into your argument? And they go, well, yeah, it does complicate it a bit. Yeah, it does. And what about that one? And what about this one? And I like having private conversation. I'm like, listen, let me give you these 10 verses. You try to jigsaw puzzle them into your argument. Let me know where they fit, because I'm out in the weeds on this one. And more often than not, they never answer me back. Or I'll get this one. Well, I guess we agree to disagree. I go, I didn't tell you my opinion. I asked questions that you can't answer. I'd like to think that if I held on to a belief and somebody said, what about this verse? What about this verse? What about that verse? I would go to those verses and go, huh. And I've had people ask questions. And I said, oh, okay, well, see that verse and then these other passages of Scripture here, you see how when you pour that on there and you let Scripture interpret Scripture instead of me interpret Scripture, you let Scripture interpret Scripture, it all pans out. You see how that makes sense? Oh. It's like the doctrine of election. Well, what do you think about, what do you think about this verse? He says, whosoever. I said, that's wonderful. That word whosoever is a very good point. Whosoever could mean everybody. Anybody by choice, or it could be anybody by anybody without distinction. And whenever you see the word whosoever, what description do you normally see by it? Jew or Gentile? Whosoever! And I'm glad for whosoever. People think that just because you believe in the doctrine of election, you get to sit there and say, well, this person doesn't deserve heaven, and this person doesn't deserve heaven, and this person does. No, none of us deserve it. That's why I'm so glad for whosoever. I am one of the most Gentilest Gentiles you'll ever meet. Now, here's the thing, though. I did that Ancestry.com. I'm up to 8% Jew. I don't think that's enough. You know what I mean? I don't think I could sit there and claim... I'm uncomfortable singing Father Abraham with the children. Brother Tim Kavanaugh hit me with that verse. It says, we're all children of Abraham now. Yeah. Also doesn't say boogie woogie on a Sunday morning. But anyway. We need to show the world who he is. God declares him who he is. Jesus declares him who he is. They don't need us, but how ungrateful would we be? How disloyal and how disobedient we would be to say, that's what you asked for. You told us to go tell people, but I ain't gonna because, it's a difficult world. No. Everyone one day will find Jesus just as he is. I pray they find it here. They find out here before they die in their sin. Pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for salvation. But Father, your word is concrete. And whether we like it, dislike it, agree with it, disagree with it, we have no cause to think that our logic has any pending here. We're too finite. We're too selfish. We're too sinful. Father, we beg this, that you would help us to give the gospel, and that, Lord, we would see others. See the light that is your Son. And Lord, repent of their sins and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Help us, Lord, not to get brazen or arrogant. But Father, instead turn to your word to learn who you are. Learn what your will is from there. And Lord, not try to transpose our own ideas onto you. It's a sin. It's blasphemy. Lord, I just pray that you help us love you more and follow you closer. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.